Thanks for listening to the Catalyst Church podcast. We exist to help people find and follow Jesus, and we trust that this message will help you do just that. If God has been using our ministry in your life, would you consider partnering with us in a few ways? First, follow us on social media to stay up to date on all we have going on at Catalyst Woodland. Second, we have found that positive reviews on Google or Facebook go a long way in how their algorithms choose who to promote online. Would you take some time and leave us a review on those platforms? It's amazing how just a few minutes of time can translate to such a huge impact when people are looking for a church. Again, thanks for listening in, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. Again, it is good to have you with us as we dive into this series, into this topic. Before we get started, this is a heavy series, a difficult series. It's one that we've been planning and preparing for quite a while to do. But first and foremost, I just want to say thank you as your pastor. You guys are the best people on the planet. And just to give us space and to give me grace to do something like this was a big deal. I didn't know how this was going to go off. You never know when you dive into a difficult subject if just how the reaction is going to go, but you guys are super gracious. And just the feedback we got and things that we've heard that God has been doing in the lives of people in our community is fantastic. And so I just want to say thank you. You guys are the best, and you guys allow us to wade in some difficult spaces and do it with confidence. So thank you. Today, like the video said, we're diving into anxiety. Next week is depression. And then the week after that is going to be suicide. If you missed last week, that was kind of the foundation week. And so I would encourage you to go back onto our podcast and listen to that. Check that out. Kind of lays the foundation for where we're going to be going over the next couple weeks. And would also love to double encourage you based on what Stephanie said about the forum. One of the folks, the executive director of that Yolo County Suicide Prevention Hotline, is going to be a part of the forum. And there's some stuff even that I found out last week that I didn't even know existed in the county, that some new stuff, like a couple months old, brand new stuff for people in crisis. It's very, very cool. We're going to go all over all that in the forum. And so would love to have your questions. So some of the feedback and the things we've gotten, we'd love to continue to build that to know where we need to go. So please feel free, as even while I'm speaking, if something just kind of jumps to mind, log on to the website or the app, send that in, and we would love to tackle that as best we can. So today is a big topic. It's a difficult topic. And so we're just going to start with prayer. All right? That work for everyone? All right. So let's dive in. Let's pray. And then we'll talk about anxiety. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for these moments together where we can gather and hear what you have to say, how you speak on this topic of anxiety. God, it is a difficult subject that many people in this world deal with and struggle with. And so I pray that today we would be able to see some hope in you as we do our best to put in place those things that you have asked us to. Put our hope and our faith and our trust in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. We ready to do this? All right. Let's do it. So, have you ever thought about why we as a people, why we as a culture are so anxious? We are a very anxious people. As I was thinking about it, there was a couple different things that popped up for me. I think the first and the biggest thing is kind of our modern culture, the culture that we live in. It's a very prove yourself. You need to succeed, you need to be driven, you need to go, you need to do more. I mean, you just look at what it takes for a student to get into college nowadays. I mean, it is nuts. They have to have like a 6.0, if that's even possible, and do every extracurricular, play 14 sports all at the same time while being the choir and, you know, run the soup kitchen. I mean, it's ridiculous now. There is so much pressure just on our culture to do well. I think it's a Western thing, but but then you can also look at certain Eastern cultures and see a tremendous amount of pressure there. So it's a global thing. Another thing I think is that we live in a highly connected society. What I mean by that is things that caused us stress and anxiety, or things that we would even 10, 20 years ago not even know about on the other side of the world, now we can know in an instant. Something happens, some crazy event happens on the other side of the world, and my phone dings, and I know, oh my gosh, there was a bombing in a place I didn't even know existed 5 seconds ago. And I don't know if you've been keeping track of news ever. That's all they report on, right? So it's just constant. We are highly connected in just almost this tsunami of information coming at us of all things that are intended to strike fear and nervous and breaking news. Oh my gosh, this is going to freak you out. And then it just comes and comes and it never stops. And then the last thing is that I was thinking of is social media. Man, social media is of the devil. I know we do it as a church. I try to do it as little as possible. Social media is terrible. And can I just, this is just PSA. This one's for free. Parents, if you think your kid needs a phone and you've waited long enough, wait longer, because your kid doesn't need a phone until they're like 20-something. Let them date before they get a phone, whatever. But phones, your kid doesn't need a phone. The amount of things that just, when we look at social media and we see, well, how am I comparing to this person? What's happening here? And you end up, and I've said it 1,000 times before, you end up comparing your real life to someone else's highlight reel. And I was talking about this with another pastor yesterday, and they said, well, man, it's not even the highlight reel. It's like the highlight of the highlight reel. You know how much stuff gets left on the cutting room floor of someone's life when it comes to social media? And then we just give it to our kids and go, here you go, peruse. And then if some of you remember, go back into your middle school and high school days and remember comparing yourself to other kids. Now they can do that 24/7. It's ridiculous. Kids shouldn't have fun. Moving on. So if you were to think about what would be the three things, I just take a minute, just as I'm talking, and just write down on your program or something, or note in your phone or something. What are the three things that kind of make you the most anxious? If you were to think right now, like, man, what is causing me so much anxiety? What is making me worried? What is keeping me up at night? Why do I lose sleep? Why do I have such a difficult time falling asleep? What is it for me right now? As you're thinking through those things, I'll throw out a few, because if you were to survey all the top reasons of what makes us anxious, report after report after report after report all come back with the same three things. They are these. First one is health. Could be your health, could be health of a friend or family member, maybe an undiagnosed, or, oh boy, I may in the future diagnose, right? So it's just health. It's a very, very broad blanket health. Number two is safety. Again, safety for yourself, safety for others, safety for your community, safe, just broad blanket safety. Am I safe? Can I provide for myself? Am I in a safe space? Is my job secure? Right? All of these things about protecting what is ours and what we have and where we live and all those things. And then the last, you could probably guess, is money. Yep, you said it. Money. Finances. And this is why, time and time again comes back as the number one reason why families get broken up, why couples get divorced, why there are arguments. Finances create so much stress and so much anguish. If you're having trouble, I would encourage you to maybe think through it this way. Answer this question. I need. What do you need? What do you need? Do you need affirmation? Do you need approval? Do you need a raise? Do you need a better relationship? Do you need a friend? What do you need? Because usually what you feel you need is going to lead way to what makes you anxious. Another thing, it's a little different, but it can go at the same thing, is I want. I want to be successful. I want my kids to do well in school. I want to be recognized and affirmed. I want my relationship with my parents to get better. I want, what do you want? And then there's another question you can ask yourself, which is the complete backside of the coin, but usually exposes a similar thing, is I don't want. Because I don't want gets at the fear angle. What are you afraid of? Because what we're afraid of leads way to anxiety. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I don't want the diagnosis. I don't want to happen to my parents to happen to me. I don't want, what do you not want? We live in a world that is anxious all the time. And I understand, I'm going to do my best to at the same time attack just clinical anxiety and just anxiety. Because I think we live in a world where both exist. Obviously, I know that there's clinical anxiety, but we're also a very anxious people. And there's just anxiety just all over the place. And so it sometimes can just overlap and heighten what may already be there. You want to see something that if you're a parent should terrify you? Check this out. Robert Leahy, he's a world-renowned psychologist. This is what he said. The average high school kid today has the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the early 1950s. So what would have gotten someone institutionalized 70 years ago, that's how your high schooler woke up, just to do life. I was speaking with it's just totally off the cuff, just reminded me today. I was speaking with one of our SROs, one of our school resource officers on Friday. I happened to run into him, which is, hey, how's it going? And he said, good. And he said, hey, I happen to notice the series you're doing. I said, yeah. He goes, man, it's really important. I said, yeah, you know, we hope to help. He said, you know, it is not uncommon for me to place students on a psychiatric hold 2 to 3 times a week. Everything from elementary age students on up, 2 to 3 a week. I did that. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, man, it's what I do all day. I walk around with students who are just crazy anxious about life, and they don't know how to deal. Harvard, they came out with a recent study and said that the United States of America is the most anxious nation in the world. And then followed that up a couple months ago, the Los Angeles Times came out with this. This is an actual headline from Los Angeles Times. It's not just you. We're all living in the United States of anxiety. No wonder people are worried sick, and I literally mean worried sick. If you've ever had a panic attack, you know what I'm talking about. Panic attacks are awful. I've had some myself. I shared the bulk of my story last week, so I won't get into it again. You can go listen last week on the podcast if you want to. But it's that strange sensation where your hands are tingling and you feel almost worn out but amped up at the same time. And your heart is just beating out of your chest and your mind is running a million miles a minute but at the same time super foggy. And you can't really figure stuff out. It's this weird just kind of place you sit in and you just and it can be absolutely crippling. And so I understand at some small level what some of you are going through. And I'm going to say it every week, and so I'm going to say it again today. Listen to me. If you need help, get help. And don't use Christianity as a crutch, please. Don't sit on the sideline saying, well, oh, I don't have enough faith, and I just need to pray more. Yes, that's fine. Do that. Pray more. Have more faith. But also go see a professional. And in some cases, there may be a medication that you need to get some things right in your brain so that things can calm down and you can begin to get some handles on some of the things that you need to work on. For some of you, a therapist can give you all the tools they want, but unless there's things going right in your brain, it's never going to take root. And the amount of people, even coming out of last week, that messaged our office saying, thank you, I'm going to go see a counselor for the first time in my life, and I'm absolutely terrified, was unbelievable. So if you think you're alone, you're not. We're all in this journey together, but some, you need to go get help. But if you have gone and you have received some kind of diagnosis that you are clinically anxious or depressed, or listen, don't let that diagnosis define you. It is not your identity. It's not who you are. It's not, oh, this is how it's always going to be. I guess I'm just an anxious person. I'm always depressed. I'll have to live with this my whole life. It doesn't have to be that way. You can actually experience victory. You can overcome some of these things. It doesn't mean you're going to rid it forever. I would never say that. But it does make handling it doable. I've been doable-ing it my whole life. And feel that I finally, at some point, have a little bit of grip on it. And some of the things I'm going to talk about have been a huge help to me. So what I want to do is I want to get super practical, and I want to go through a passage that has helped me. It is one of my life, not yet. It has helped me through some difficult times of my life. And it's one that gets quoted. It's one that gets tossed around. I referenced it last week. And it's one that people will just throw out with no context. You ever want to see me get angry? Is quote a Bible verse out of context. And it just drives me nuts. Especially Old Testament verse. Don't get me started. All right, anyway. So this verse, applied in context, it really matters. And one of the things that's unique about being a pastor is we live in this world where we are with people and celebrate and live life with people at the peaks and the valleys. Where when people are at the high, you know, babies getting born and marriages and weddings and growth of families and baptisms, which we're going to be doing later today. All these like big moments. And at the same time, get the phone call when the child didn't make it, when grandma, grandpa passed away, went right. And so at both the peaks and the valleys, this set of verses is one that just God continues to speak to me, and I do my best to speak to others. It's been an anchor for my soul, and I hope it will be for yours as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to balance these two things, anxiety and peace, because they often don't play nice. And so we have anxiety. Our goal is peace, and how do we get there? And so I want to first look at Jesus and how he kind of attacked this whole thing. In John 16:33, this is a verse, maybe you've heard it before. This isn't the specific set of verses I'm talking about. This is in prep. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so we will state this verse and say, well, if Jesus has overcome, then you can overcome. Like, well, why are you being so weird about this? Why are you getting all anxious? Just, you know, Jesus overcame, you overcame. Now, speaking just trite encouragements can be frustrating to people. And if you've ever been anxious or depressed and had someone say to you, well, just calm down. Or if you've ever been depressed and had someone like, man, just snap out of it. And you want to smack them, just as your pastor, it's totally okay to do. You can just smack them across the face and be like, Pastor Matt told me to, and I'll own that. I'll take that. But context is important, right? Because what's happening right before these verses? Well, Jesus knows that he's getting ready in the few verses that follow to do the most anxious thing he will ever do, and that is go to the cross. And so before he speaks these words to his disciples, he knows what is coming is the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will be on his knees before God, begging and pleading for there to be any other way than the cross. And he is so anxious that he is sweating drops of blood. Have you ever been that anxious? I don't know, maybe some of you have. It's a thing, it's a medical thing. And so he looks back, and as he's preparing for this, he's speaking to his disciples, and the verses that come up right before this, he's basically telling them, look, here's what's going to happen. I need to leave. I need to go. But it's actually going to be better for you that I go, because when I go, you're going to get the Holy Spirit, and that's going to be good. It's going to be a really good thing for you. So you need to just kind of wait on that. And they're like, no, Jesus, what are you talking about? You going isn't better. You going isn't good. He's like, no, it is. It's fine, because here's what's going to happen. You are going to experience more difficulty, more persecution. People are going to hate you for following me. They're going to come at you for following me. The spirit of darkness is going to attack you for following me. You are getting ready to head into some really dark stuff, but it's okay because the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. And then he says, so I've said all these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. I just told you all about it. But take heart, I've overcome the world. At that point, they didn't know what that meant. The crucifixion, death, and resurrection hadn't happened yet, so they were like, okay, so you've beat it, but it hasn't come. That doesn't make sense. And he's like, I know, I often confuse you guys. Sorry about that. But one of the things that we speak these verses, and we declare it almost as if Christianity is the golden ticket. Like, just follow Jesus and all your stuff will go away and everything will be fine. And listen, I wish I could say that to you. Like, I really do. Like, that would be a pretty sweet sales pitch, right? I mean, that I think that would work really well for the church. Like, hey, you just follow Jesus and you will know that raise you want. Like, he'll give it to you, just whatever. And people, then they misquote, like, well, just, it says whatever you ask for, he'll give it to you. It's not how that works. But that's for another series, another time. But we say these verses, and listen, it doesn't mean that God's just going to take all the crap of your life and remove it and replace it with good stuff. What it means is that you are going to be in a season of tribulation. You're going to have darkness. You're going to have trouble. But there is a way through, and you can have peace in the midst of your pain. It is actually possible. And so this verse is found in Philippians, and here it is, Philippians 4. Here's where we're going to spend the rest of our time. So if you want to flip in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4 or on a device, if you don't have a Bible, there's some at either exit you can grab one. If you don't own one, feel free to take it with you. But Ephesians 4, verses 6, what? Philippians, yep, whatever they have there. I just followed the screen, okay? So Philippians 4. Yep, that's the right one. Okay, you freak me out. I freak me out. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I am assuming that if you are a Christian, and I know that not everyone in this room is, and that's totally cool, we're glad you're here, is that if you grew up in the church, you've probably heard this verse. And at some point in your life, when you've been anxious, some moron has said that first phrase to you. Well, just don't be anxious, just stop it. Okay, listen. The problem with that is that if someone says that to you, we can accidentally get the idea that God is this angry, hey, stop being anxious, knock it off. Right? Like this frustrated father who sees his child doing something wrong and wants to command something out of it. But that is not it at all. When we do that, we end up weaponizing a verse like this. And so if you've ever been in this situation, I have many times where you are anxious. And then you think, well, I shouldn't be anxious, but you're still anxious. And then you get anxious about the fact that you're not getting less anxious, and that makes you anxious. And then you think, well, God doesn't want me to be anxious, and so if I'm anxious, then I must not be following God, and if God doesn't love me, then that makes me anxious. And then I'm anxious about the fact that God doesn't want me to be anxious, and I'm anxious about him not wanting me to be, right? It's called the failure loop. We just keep that, and we glitch, and we're like, and we just keep going around. We can't get out of it. And if you've ever been in that place where you just, and the anxiety, and it just keeps building, and it just keeps coming and coming, and it's all based on this idea that we think that if you are getting anxious, if there's things in this world that cause you anxiety, that there's something wrong with you, or you're somehow, you don't have enough faith, or you're not praying enough, and those things couldn't be further from the truth, because the context matters. So let's look back at the verses that come before it. The verses that come before it. Now, context. The Apostle Paul is speaking to a young church in Philippi that he started years ago. And the first verses 1-3, he's talking about the conflict and the strife that people are having in a very difficult situation. They're living in very tumultuous times. There's attack on the church, persecution, and they're having infighting. How many of you know that anxiety goes up when you have infighting with other people in your life? When you have other people that, some of you, when I said what's making you anxious, there was a name or a face that came to your mind. Not a situation. There was an actual person. They are why I'm anxious. Her, right? Like you locked in on this person. So that's what he's speaking into, this context of this church that is just in total turmoil, total chaos. And so he actually begins this whole section of verses completely differently. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, because you didn't hear me the first time, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Another way to translate that is he is near. So do not be anxious about anything. And continue. Different, right? Totally different. And so what he does is he's setting up these three things that he wants us to be mindful of as we go through our anxiety. The first one is to rejoice. Rejoice. Now, excuse me. I don't know about you, but when I am feeling anxious, the last thing I want to do is get my praise on, right? Is sing songs. Some of you came in today and you're like, these songs, I don't know why we do these songs. It is so loud and they are so excited and my goodness, right? And you're agitated. You don't want to be here. And what he's saying is, no, listen, sometimes when you are anxious, the first thing you need to do is give praise to God. Why? Because it reminds you that you're not God. Because I don't know about you, but typically, I don't praise something that is less than me. I just don't. I praise something that is greater than me. And so if I'm having anxiety, the last thing I want to do is actually acknowledge that there is something greater than me out there that can control this stuff. We'll talk about control in a minute. But some of you, you need to praise through your pain. You just need to get in your car, turn on the Christian radio, pray. Whatever you need to do, but Paul wants to start and say, listen, if you're having trouble, if you're having turmoil, if worry is creeping up, then you need to praise. You need to recognize first that you are not God and put yourself in your rightful place before you get going with this whole thing. And then second, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Another way to translate that is gentleness. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get anxious, nobody would look at me and go, wow, he is so gentle and reasonable right now. No one would describe me as gentle. They would say, wow, he is really snippy and a little short with me today, right? And he's a little frustrated and he gets a little quippy and like, he's mean, right? That's what they would say. That's what some of you would say. If you ever see me get anxious, I get incredibly short. And I get frustrated. I don't blow up, but I get short and frustrated and snippy and just mean. And I'll say things that can cut people down. And because that's me. That's not, it's not you, it's me. It's true. There's anxiety within me. And the last thing I want to do is be gentle. But that's what Paul is saying. Before he gets into the do not be anxious, he's saying, first of all, recognize that you're not God. And number two, be gentle. Be nice to people. Be reasonable. And then last, his encouragement is, remember, the Lord is at hand, that the Lord is near. How many of you know that when you are feeling anxious, God feels a million miles away? That he has forgotten you. He has abandoned you. He doesn't hear your prayer. He is over here doing his thing, and you are left to your own devices to drown in your worry and your problems. And so he wants to remind us, no, I know he may feel a million miles away, but he is closer than he's ever been. You just can't sense it right now. You just can't see it, and I know you can't, but he is near. I'm telling you, he is near. So therefore, everyone, don't be anxious. It is a plead. It is a gentle request. It's not a command. It is I beg you, don't get anxious. Even Jesus, he shares about it. We don't have this, but I was thinking about this morning. And even Jesus, when he's sharing about a parable about anxiety, and he says, who, by being anxious, will add an hour to your day? Other way to translate that is, how's that working for you? Getting all worked up, making your day better, getting everything all right, getting stuff done. Get to the end of the day, you're like, that was productive. No, I know it wasn't. Because in Jesus, he comes to the same place. Be calm, be gentle, and realize that I am near. And so as we kind of balance these two, anxiety and peace, I want to kind of juxtapose those two together with these last three ideas. Because And this is so important to understand, is that anxiety says what if. Have you ever played this game? Anxiety will say what? I think we have that a couple slides down. Anxiety says what if. It's the what if game of anxiety. What if I get the test result back? What if I lose my job? What if this? What if my kid doesn't? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? And there are so many examples. I could go on all day. You probably have many of the same for yourself. But what if? And it goes in all different kind of directions. What if something happens to me? What if something happens to the ones I love? What if something happens to my family? What if? What if? What if? What if? And parents, you you know this. I mean, one of the worst things that could happen is, what if something happens to one of my kids or one of my grandkids? Well, there are times when what if becomes real. There's a family, the Tolley family, who are very good friends of mine. Some of you know a little bit about this story because my wife posted a little bit on social media because she is a little less godly than I am, so she does more social media. We went over this. Anyway, so the Tolley family, that is Brian and Hannah Tolley. They took over for me as the worship directors of Catalyst down in Southern California when we left, and they are phenomenal. They are 1,000 times better than I could ever be. They're amazing people. And that is their daughter, Luna. Several weeks ago, they were leading worship at a women's conference. They were away, they were gone, and her mom was watching Luna, and she noticed this kind of weird, like her face got a little funny, and then her right foot was just twitching, and it was odd, and so she just watched it, and then when they came home, they walked in, and mom was like, hey, you need to check out Luna. Something's going wrong. And by the grace of God, before becoming worship staff and on the staff of Catalyst Church, both Brian and Hannah were EMTs. And so they walked in and took one look at her and said, uh-oh, and put her in the car, took her to the hospital. She was at the hospital for about an hour before they transferred her to Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. She, at that point, continued to have a series of strokes and seizures to the point where 24 or so hours later, they had a sit-down with the doctor, where the doctor got very real, very straightforward and said, hey, we just need to let you know. We are either coming to the end of her life, or if she does pull through this, what you're going to be left with is not much. She will probably never walk again, never speak again, never anything again. And so I called Brian that day, and I could hear something in the background. I said, what's going on? And he said, oh, that's just Hannah singing worship songs. I said, what? He said, yeah, man, I mean, God is God and we're not, and so might as well praise him. And the thing that was so shocking to me is you look at that and you go, what happens when what if becomes what is? And I would look at that, and I did. I said, how do you praise through something like that? I want a faith like that. I want to know that. I don't know that I would be able to do that. And he said, yeah, I didn't think we could either. But we're just moment by moment, day by day. And sometimes it is just breath by breath. We are trying to get through this. We are trusting that God is going to do something. And then he said something that I've heard a couple people say over the years, and it has stuck with me. He says, but you know, regardless of what happens, nothing between us and God changes. He's still God and we're not. And we may not like the outcome, but God is God. And so every day, Brian would bring his guitar and they would just stand at her bedside and sing songs of worship. And when they were gone, they just had their a computer, phone, whatever, just doing the same. Just pray. And nurses would come in and join him. And I mean, I have to stop because the stories that came out of there is just nuts. Long story short, Luna's doing fine. God worked a miracle. And yeah, praise God for that. She still has some limited use of her left side, but that's it. And she's talking and she's crawling around and it is absolutely incredible. And so I've talked to them since a few times, like, man, how did you do that? He said, I don't know, we just praised our way through it. Because the power of the Holy Spirit can give you what it speaks about there in Philippians, the peace that surpasses all understanding. How? I don't know, other than the Spirit of God being present in such a way that it is greater than grief, that it is greater than anxiety, that it is greater than depression, it is greater than heart, it is greater even than death, it is greater than all. And what they said is true. And this is the first one I want to balance, is anxiety says what if, peace comes from what is. He said, there are times we just had to tell ourselves, God is real. God is in charge. I said, did you believe it? He said, not really. Because we were looking at a bunch of what ifs, but we had to stop and say, nope, God is still in charge. I know I opened my eyes and it doesn't look like God is in charge, but God is in charge. God is in charge. God is in charge. Is he in charge? I think so. Okay, God is in charge, right? And some of you, you've been there, but you just need to remind yourself, God, you are bigger than me. God, you are greater than me. God, and there are some who, I know you don't even believe that at this point, but that is how that God actually shows up in these places, and how you take these verses from just these random writings on a wall is you actually have to apply them and say, no, God, you are near, and you practice faith, and you begin to change your mind, change the way you think. I love it because the medical community is finally catching up to the scriptures. They're getting closer. I don't know how many of you remember the anti-drug campaign of the 80s, the cracked egg, right? That this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Okay, so and so many of us were raised on this whole idea, which started before that, but really when the TV campaign really brought it to the surface, this whole idea of if you fry your brain cells, they're gone. They're done. Nothing you can do. You'll never get them back. They're over, gone, toast. It's not true. And the Bible has been saying for, 2,000 years, that his mercies are new every morning, that all things are new, that he renews our mind, that he renews. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she put out a phenomenal book. It's called Switch On Your Brain. I'd encourage you, if anyone is dealing with this stuff, read her book. It's great. It says, every morning when you wake up, new baby nerve cells have been born while you were sleeping that are there at your disposal to be used in tearing down toxic thoughts and rebuilding healthy thoughts. The birth of these new baby nerve cells is called neurogenesis. What a remarkable and hopeful portrait of the endless adaptivity of the human brain God has given us. Now, this is not just think good thoughts. It's more than that. It's more than just, well, hey, positive thinking, positive life. I get that. I get how you could see that. It's more than that. But I will say, there are some of you, you have been letting negative toxic thoughts run way too rampant in your life. You've been telling yourself a narrative that is a lie for centuries. We talked about it last week. The darkness, the depravity, the decisions, and then the deception. That you are being deceived by a lie. Whether it's that your diagnosis is the definition of who you are, or maybe that you deserved what happened to you when you were a kid, or the reason you can't find a good relationship is because you're broken, or whatever the lie it is that you're telling yourself, there is a reality to the fact that if you continue to think thoughts that cause you to be anxious, then guess what? You're going to be anxious. So stop thinking those things of what if I stay single forever, but what if I run out of money, what if I lose my job? Yes, what if? Did you know you can play the what if game forever? Some of you have tried real hard. You can play it forever. Stop playing the what if game. Tell yourself what is. I have life. I have breath. God is on the throne. Things will be fine. And there are times and seasons of life where those sound super trite. There have been times in my life where those are the most comforting words I've ever spoken to myself. When things are just falling apart and I say, well, God is God, so, right? Because that's all you have left to say, I am thankful that God is God and I am not. Because if I were God, I'd screw this whole thing up. Number two, anxiety wants control. Peace comes from surrender. I don't know if any of you have tried to control a bunch of your life and quickly realized that you really don't actually control that much. If you're actually to step back and think about how much of life you control, it's actually very little. You and I don't control a whole lot. You don't really control what happens in government. You have a vote. I'm all about it, vote. But you're not going to control anything, just yourself. You're not going to control world wars. You're not going to end world hunger. You're not. You are one person, and it is not in your control. But we think it is. We think that everything in this life is just, well, I can control this. It is a lie to think that you can control everything. And how many of you have experienced when things get out of control, that's when anxiety starts to creep up. And things get out of control because you've bought the lie that you're actually in control. You're not. God is. And so peace comes from the idea of, well, this is not my circus, so all right, like, right? There is something really freeing to saying, God, I'm at your will, and this is not my show. This is not my rodeo, man. I mean, I will do my best, and listen, I will work hard, and I will do my best, and I will give my best to my business and my best to relationships, but God, you are the one who runs this, not me. But when you try to control and say, no, God, hold on, God, I got, hold on, and you go try to like mix everything around, get everything under control, you're just going to spin yourself into a frenzy. Realize you're not in control. Anxiety wants you to believe you're in control. You're not. And the more you fight that, the more anxiety is going to rise. The best thing you can do is just surrender to God. The third is this, and this is the last one, and I'll wrap it with this. Anxiety lives in fear. Peace comes from faith. How many of you have had anxiety over things that make you afraid? Man, I'm really fearful. I don't, if I lose my job, I can't. I don't. That makes God. You right? And you just get all worried. But what if they died? What if that diagnosis comes back? What if they say that? What if they don't forgive me? Satan would love you to live in a spirit of fear at all times, just to be afraid of everything. It's amazing how kids, you don't have to teach them to be afraid. They're naturally afraid. There are my boys, I didn't teach them, oh, you should be afraid of, and it goes back to the connected society thing. Our kids are afraid of things that as a kid I wasn't even aware of. I didn't even know existed. And the things my 9-year-old says to me, I'm like, how, what? Oh yeah, kids, school, you know, my buddy's got a phone. I was like, he's not your buddy anymore, I'll tell you that right now. give me the parent's number, I need to talk to that parent, no. But we want to live in fear all the time, but peace comes from faith. I want to give you this verse in 2 Corinthians. This is a great one. Some of you need to write this one down. I like it especially in the NIV because it has a cool part to it. So, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The world wages war by trying to get control, by living in fear, by trying to play all the what if and cover all the bases of the what if game. We don't wage war like that. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every pretension. What is a pretension? It is pretension. I get worried, and before I actually get worried, I get a little I want to tense up a little bit because I'm not quite there yet, and so I'll just pre-tense myself. That sets itself up against the knowledge of God, of what God knows to be true, and what we know to be true of God. It sets itself up against it. So take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Some of you, you need to write that verse down and put it wherever you get anxious. Put it on your bathroom mirror, put it in your car, put it on your desk at work, and put it right next to the appointment you have with your boss, you know, and just, you need to take your thoughts captive. You have a thought that says, this is going to happen. What if this? Oh my gosh, I'm going to do this, this is going to happen. I'm getting anxious. And just take it captive and say, no, not today. Not today. Thought, you don't get to control me today. I'm going to make you submissive and obedient to the word of God. This is what is true. You are not in control. Thought, you are not the one that runs me. Thought, you are not God. And I'm going to take you captive and make you obedient to Christ. If you want to get to me, you have to go through Christ. And that's what this thought needs to be told. Because anxiety, it loves to play that what-if game. It loves to just run rampant in your life. And my prayer for you as we've gone through each week of this series is that some of you would, by the power of the Spirit, have the strength to take some of this stuff captive. Have the strength to work out some of this stuff. Anxiety, I didn't put this in, and I'm already 8 minutes over, so what's another minute? There's this idea that anxiety wants you to feel that you are all alone and that no one else knows what you're going through. And if they did, they'd call you crazy. If they knew the what-if game that was playing in your mind, they'd be like, come on, really? well, I mean, you've been at that job for 25 years. They're not going to let you go tomorrow. You're being ridiculous. So you just don't. You just keep it to yourself. Let me tell you something. Please say something to someone. Say, man, I'm really stressed. And if you need to float it to them, like, hey, I need you to be really gracious with me. I've been struggling. I want to tell someone, and I'm really nervous of how this is going to come off. So would you just give me grace as I just, and just fall on the sword of grace, and then just say, hey, I'm really anxious about my job right now. And then tell them what you need. I don't need you to like fix anything. I just need you to hear me out. Some of you have been bottling this up and not speaking of these things for 10, 15, 20 years. You need to share with someone. You need to get someone in your corner, someone who will just simply listen and say, man, that's rough. I'm there for you. That's really difficult. And that's it. Because some of you, you just need to know that you're not alone. And you're not alone. I'm telling you, you're not alone. If I could, which I won't, but if I could put my inbox up on the screen and just go through all the emails that our office has received this week, I can assure you, you are not alone. But it is on us to take those thoughts captive, make them submissive and obedient to Christ, to recognize that He is on the throne, that we are not, so that we could move away from anxiety and into peace. Amen. So I want to close similar to how I did last week, if you were here with us. If not, I'm just going to invite you to participate along. As I said last week, it's not weird if everyone does it. I would invite you there's nothing weird about it. It is a symbol of saying, God, I'm not going to play the what if game. And so if just do me a favor, just open your hands, just set them on your lap as we close in prayer. I'm going to give you just a minute to, in the quietness of your own heart, just to pray whatever it is you need to pray to God. If there's something you just need to give to God, if there's something you need to say, God, I don't want to take control of this anymore. Here, I give it to you. God, I don't want to mess with it. Here, I give it to you. Whatever it is, just take a moment in the quietness of your spirit to speak those things, and then I will close in a moment. God, we ask for your peace that surpasses all understanding. That when our mind wants to play the what if game, or when what if becomes reality, God, we recognize we're not in control. That Satan would love us to think we are, to grasp for control from you. That's what we've been doing since day one, is trying to take control from God. No wonder it causes us anxiety when we're trying to play God. We make terrible gods. God, we give this to you, whatever it is that is on the hearts of those who are here gathered this morning or listening online. God, we just pray that you would be gracious to us. That you would help us to rejoice in you, to be gentle and reasonable and calm in our response, and to know that above all, that you are near. So that we don't have to be anxious anymore. God, we give these things to you. It's in your name we pray.